And it seemed to me then, as it still seems to me now, a logical decision, based on the discoveries that cycling was a most satisfactory method of transport, and that, excluding the USSR for political reasons, the way to India offered fewer watery obstacles than any other destination at a similar distance. However, I was a cunning child, so I kept my ambition to myself, thus avoiding the tolerant amusement it would have provoked among my elders. I did not want to be soothingly assured that this was a passing whim, because I was quite confident that one day I would cycle to India. That was at the beginning of December 1941, and on the 14th of January 1963, I started to cycle from Dunkirk towards Delhi. The preparations had been simple. One of the advantages of cycling is that it automatically prevents a journey from becoming an expedition. I already possessed an admirable Armstrong cadet man's bicycle named Rosinante, but always known as Roz. By a coincidence, I had bought her on the 14th of January 1961, so our journey started on her second birthday. This was ideal. We were by then a happy team, having already covered thousands of miles together, yet she was young enough to be dependable. The only preparation Roz needed was the removal of her three-speed derailleur gear, which I reckoned would be too sensitive to survive Asian roads. Apart from the normal accessories, saddlebag, bell, lamp and pump, she carried only pannier bag holders on either side of the back wheel. Unloaded, she weighs 37 pounds, and at the start of the journey, she was taking 28 pounds of kit, while I carried another 6 pounds in a small knapsack. Before leaving Ireland, four spare tyres had been posted ahead to various British embassies, consulates and high commissions en route. Roz takes 27.5-inch by 1.25-inch tyres, which are not a standard measurement abroad. In London, at the end of November 1962, I obtained, without difficulty, visas for Yugoslavia and Bulgaria. I planned to get my visas for Persia and Istanbul, and for Afghanistan and Tehran. During the same visit to London, I endured vaccinations and inoculations for smallpox, cholera, typhoid and yellow fever, the latter in case I decided to return from India via Africa. Most of the following month was spent bending over maps bought through the AA in Dublin, working out the distances between towns which had intoxicatingly improbable names. I calculated that it was 4,445 miles from Dunkirk to Peshawar, and by New Year's Eve, I could have told you without hesitation where I planned to be on any given date between the 14th of January and the 14th of May, when I hoped to arrive in Peshawar. The object of this exercise was to ensure that my mail, sent care of the British Council offices en route, would not miss me, nor did it, despite many inevitable changes in my original plans. In the intervals between mapping, I took myself off to remote areas in the mountains around Lismore and practiced firing and reloading my .25, the purchase of which had recently been achieved with the full and rather awestruck cooperation of the local police. My friends regarded this purchase as so much adolescent melodrama on my part, but fortunately I ignored their criticisms and stuck to my gun, though its presence in the right-hand pocket of my slacks, where I habitually carried it to accustom myself to the presence of a loaded weapon, frightened me considerably more than it did anyone else. Yet, within a month of leaving home, the seemingly childish game of whipping it out of my pocket and flicking up the safety catch was fully justified. I arrived in Delhi on the 18th of July 1963, almost 6 months after leaving Ireland. People with mathematical brains are always anxious to know exactly how many miles I had cycled by then and what my daily average was. Unfortunately, gadgets for measuring mileage do not function on Asian roads, so I can only estimate vaguely that Roz and I covered about 3,000 miles, including our detours to Muri and Gilgit. From this, the mathematically inclined can easily calculate our average daily mileage, but their findings would be slightly misleading, because there were so many days when we did not cover even a mile together. Our shortest run was, I think, 19 miles, and our longest, 118 miles. But I reckon that our average on a normal cycle